The Green Bay Packers annual shareholders meeting takes place on Thursday, which means training camp is right around the corner. To preview the event, we welcome Rich Ryman of the Green Bay Press-Gazette. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about the annual shareholders meeting taking place on Thursday this week. To preview that event, we have a guest joining us on the phone today.
Expert interview.
We have Rich Ryman of the Green Bay Press-Gazette. Mr. Ryman, how you doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you this morning?
Very good. We're glad you could join us on the show. And before we begin, Mr. Ryman, can you discuss your role at the Green Bay Press-Gazette as the Green Bay Packers business reporter? Because I don't think that's a position held at many outlets nationwide, specifically focusing on a pro football team's business dealings.
It may be the only job of its kind in the country, actually. and I'm guessing because I don't have any documentation of that. But, you know, the Packers are such an outsized entity for Green Bay. It's worth it for us to put somebody just on that job of reporting on their finances because it has such a big impact. If they were in Chicago or L.A., they'd be large because they're an entertainment value, but financially they wouldn't have that much of an impact.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting.
Oh, that's okay. No, it's like $15 million per game here impact, not including all the off-season things.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that I'm just fascinated by, you know, I personally, you know, follow along the football beat reporters, what's happening on the field most often, but I'm fascinated when I come across your stuff to find out what's happening in the community and things like that. And I'm glad that you could join us and talk about some of these things. So the shareholders meeting is taking place Thursday. The Packers already released their financial details ahead of the meeting, and we know they posted record profits this year. Can you kind of go over some of the reasons why and their sources of income?
Sure. You know, they report record profits, but I've made the argument before that profit is sort of meaningless where the Packers are concerned because they don't pay dividends to anybody and their stock isn't traded. So, frankly, if they broke even every year, they'd be no worse off than if they're reporting $50 million in profit because all the money stays with them anyway. The big number is revenue. And last year they made $408.7 million in revenue, which was a record, and you know, that's the money they have to deal with, sign players and build Title Town District and everything else they do. Of that, without question, the their share of the national television contract is the biggest source of income, and that's been going up pretty much since I've been in Green Bay, which is Brett Favre and I got here at about the same time, and it just keeps rising. Second to that, probably ticket income is a big deal, and they've been raising their prices pretty regularly for the last 5 or 6 or 7 years. That continues to go up, and then the pro shop is a huge part of their income sources. And the pro shop's much bigger than it was when they originally remodeled Lambeau Field. They won't say how much the pro shop makes. I'm guessing that it's somewhere between $50 and $70 million a year in revenue.
Yeah, that's remarkable. I mean, I've gone through that pro shop before. You know, I've seen the before and after of that, which is the place is absolutely huge. Do you think there's anything comparable in the rest of the NFL to what the Packers do with their pro shop alone?
Well, to be honest, I'm not in a position to say because I haven't seen other pro shops. A big part of what they do is not just the bricks and mortar, but it's online sales. NFL has a pro shop, online pro shop, which certainly does very well also. As to the individual teams, they may have similar operations. I'm not sure that they have the similar draw that the Packers have. Nationwide, just to fans. I mean, that's one advantage the Packers have is that they have people everywhere that follow them. To the extent that you've got at least one Packers bar in probably any NFL town you go to. I don't think we have a Cowboys bar here. So they do have an edge of being, if not America's team, then America's favorite second team.
Absolutely, absolutely. One interesting thing I noticed when the Packers released their financial details, their reserve fund keeps shrinking, or at least has for a few years now, but they're still posting record profits. I don't really understand that. Could you help me work through that a
Sure.
little bit, why that's happening?
They haven't contributed anything to the reserve fund in a couple of years now. At one point, I think it was at 125 million or something like that. They attribute the shrinkage entirely to investment results. All of that money is invested. They haven't taken anything out of it in any years either. So it's sitting there like a saving or like a Well, like your 401k, basically. And it's, I think, defensively invested. It's not aggressively invested because they're more concerned with preserving the capital than doubling the amount. And, the stock market has been wildly volatile for the last few years. And so from their explanation, it's simply just a matter of the market. It could go up as well as it goes down in the future. So we'll just have to wait and see.
So, in reference to the Titletown district under development, I'm sure that's going to be a topic of conversation tomorrow at the shareholders meeting. I know some projects are currently underway. Why is the Bell and Health Clinic beginning construction months after Hinterland Brewery and Lodge Kohler, kind of these signature, I don't know what you call them, but they're kind of the key stakeholders in this?
Mostly because it won't take them as long to build it. They're all shooting for to be open by the start of next year's football season, and relative to size and complexity, their project isn't as difficult as Lodge Kohler or Hinterland Brewery. So
Okay.
they can start in August and still get done in time. Also, this I've been told this is the largest single development project in the state in a very long time, and already you've got a lot of contractors out there trying very hard not to step on each other's toes. So it makes a certain amount of sense to sort of bring the new parts in phases.
Certainly. Is this thing realistic? It seems remarkable to me that in time for the 20s, that's 1 year from now, basically, that this thing is going to be complete. Is that realistic?
Well, I wouldn't say complete.
Okay.
The only parts that'll be open by this time for sure, well, I say for sure, but are anticipated are the hotel, the brewery, the Bell and Clinic, and at least some of the public park and plaza. The Packers have not revealed their plans yet for phase two, which is going to be all, more of that development at the far west end. But I know that they're diligently trying to work out the details of what the next steps are going to be. They've been talking to other future or potential tenants. They haven't signed anybody yet, so as like most developers, they're not going to talk about it until they've signed them. And there's a lot more to go with this. I, you know, before the whole thing is completely finished, we're probably talking 2, 3, 4 years. And it may be the kind of thing where it's never entirely done.
Perhaps. I've speculated that they're waiting until completion of the Titletown District, like you said, in a few years, to then place a bid to host the NFL draft. Do you think that's a reasonable assumption?
They've talked about that. They think 2019 would be a great year to do it because that's their 100th anniversary. Problem that they're going to have, and I'm not saying it's not doable, but the problem they're going to have is that the teams that have been hosting it so far keep raising the bar on what that draft weekend can be, and so it's almost reaching Super Bowl kind of proportions, and that it potentially could get too big for Green Bay.
Oh, well.
Because we are, you know, the smallest market, and we have the smallest amount of resources compared to Chicago or an LA. But it's not impossible yet. I mean, it's not the Super Bowl, so perhaps the Packers can talk them into bringing it here. It'd be a great event for Green Bay.
It would. I'd like to see it done, and I think if they can host, you know, a game, they can host at least near what they would need in terms of hotel rooms and things like that. But, the Packers are presenting a new member to their board of directors tomorrow. Can you kind of sum up how that works for those that might be uninitiated, might be going to their first shareholders meeting tomorrow?
Sure. The Packers have a shareholders, or not shareholders, but a directors, a committee that considers director nominations and such. And I think anybody can contact the Packers and say, hey, I know somebody who I think should be a director, or I'd like to be a director, or whatever. And they will probably look at it with as much seriousness as they think it deserves. That committee makes a recommendation to Mark Murphy, who ultimately, as president and CEO, makes the decision whether or not they should be nominated. I doubt it's probably ever happened that one of their nominations didn't get elected to be a shareholder or to be a director. And then that person comes before the annual shareholders meeting, and they take the vote, and usually they're in. So, along with, you know, they reelect about a third of their directors or so every year as well. How Ms. Anderson got nominated, I'm not sure whose idea this was, but clearly she's going to be the first major general that's ever been a Packers director, as far as I know.
Yeah, I mean, could you tell us a little about Marcia Anderson? This seems to me to be a very progressive choice as a black female with a background in the military, something new for the Packers.
And a lawyer, though that part's not very new for the Packers. But I have not had a chance to talk to her yet, but certainly her resume is very impressive. To be a female African American major general, you know, that's very, very few people in the world can have anything quite close to that. I think there's a perception that being elected to the Packers board of directors is sort of like an honorarium. But in fact, the board members have specific duties. All of them get appointed to committees. And increasingly, as the Packers have become more of a corporate organization, which they've had to do, the committees do a lot of important work. And that filters up then to the executive committee and to Murphy. So there's specific duties that they have to fulfill, and eventually, there's 7 members on the executive committee. I think most of the directors would like to be executive committee members. Obviously, very few of them ever will be, but someone like Ms. Anderson, with her background and credentials, you know, she could add an awful lot to what the Packers do. Possibly could be on the executive committee someday.
We'll see. We'll see. This has been a nice introduction to the shareholders meeting. Rich, I just have one question before I let you go, because I saw you mention it on social media yesterday. The color-on-color game the Packers are hosting this year. When do you think the Packers are going to reveal those uniforms? I think some people are kind of waiting to see what they're going to look like.
I'm pretty curious about that myself. I think the two choices are probably green on green or yellow on yellow, though somebody mentioned last night it could be blue on blue, too, if they, you know, harken back to some of the throwback stuff. We had an insiders event last night, which is a thing we do for subscribers. We get together and mostly the sports guys talk about Packer stuff, players and on the field stuff. But I asked the audience, and we had, you know, about 50 people there, you know, which they would prefer, and the general sense is that they hate the whole thing. So I'm not sure it's going to matter which color the Packers choose, because I'd question how much Packer fans are going to appreciate it. The other question is they're playing the Bears, so what are the Bears going to be wearing? You know, are we going to have yellow on yellow versus orange on orange, or what's it going to be? I'll be very curious to see how that looks.
Yeah. It would seem to me that one is going to have to go light and the other's going to have to go dark. I mean, sometimes I can't get in the mind of NFL dignitaries and what they have in mind. So.
But, well, we're talking business, right? It's a marketing thing. They're trying to... I think they probably hope they'd sell those kind of jerseys, perhaps, but mostly they want attention, and so they want to, because these are NFL Network games, and they want to stand out from Monday night games and Sunday night games and Sunday afternoon games.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Mr. Ryman, thank you so much for joining us today. It's nice to kind of get a behind-the-scenes look into the Packers' businesses. Good luck covering the rest of the season here. That's just getting started. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Rich Ryman of the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
All right, so speaking of Packers business news, I just wanted to say that really briefly here, not go into detail about it, but it's appropriate seeing as we just talk about Packers business. The organization announced yesterday it had awarded impact grants worth, two of them worth $250,000 to two recipients on Tuesday. Those receiving the grants were the Jackie Nitschke Center, named after the wife of former Packers Hall of Fame linebacker Ray Nitschke. That's an adult substance abuse treatment program. And the other is St. Norbert College, which will renovate its athletic facilities. So there you go. Packers, you know, taking, you know, giving back to the community. From a charitable standpoint, giving away grants worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. And this is just a sampling of other grants that they'll give else time throughout the year. But these are two notable ones worth quite a bit of money. But let's talk a little football, shall we? According to Aaron Wilson of the National Football Post, the Green Bay Packers are bringing in rookie kicker Brent Wall for a tryout on Wednesday. So today, the day we're recording this podcast, the Packers do have one roster spot open that could be filled, although there's no indication a signing is imminent. You know, it's probably going to depend on how the tryout goes, perhaps. Wall comes from Ohio Dominican, which is a Division II program. And I think people want to know, are the Packers just bringing in a camp leg? You know, especially since they just signed Mason Crosby to a contract extension in the offseason. And to that, I would say yes, But that doesn't tell the whole story. The Packers would probably like to take some of the workload off Crosby in training camp and the preseason. But this is also about having a backup plan just in case there's an injury down the road. They likely want to know if Wall is worth signing during the regular season if there's an unforeseen injury and push comes to shove. I know Cheesehead TV's own Aaron Nagler alluded to this on social media yesterday. I read it, that the Packers needed to make an emergency signing at long snapper last season. You know, somewhere in the front office, they have to keep constantly updated in case of emergency lists. Obviously, you don't make changes among the specialists very often, but it's nice to be ready in case you're forced to do so. So I think that's what the Packers are doing here with this tryout of a kicker and somebody we may end up seeing on the roster during training camp. The roster currently sits at 89 players. The limit is 90, so they could sign them. And it may, I've said this all along, if you listen to this show regularly, you know, I think by the time training camp starts, or at least very shortly into it, the Packers are going to have that full complement of 90 players. Why they're exactly waiting this long to do it, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe just because the simple fact is, I mean, anybody they sign off the street, they could have signed weeks ago, they could sign today, tomorrow. There's probably not, you know, every team's roster is pretty much full. I'm sure there's a few transactions across the NFL every day. But none really at this point that is probably going to make or break a team season. So, signing Wall today, tomorrow, in a few days is not going to be a big deal to the Green Bay Packers. But, you know, with them playing five preseason games this year, with them having to start training camp a week early, you know, all these factors kind of point to they better have. All 90 players on the roster because, you know, Packers fans don't really want to see, Jordy Nelson out on the field during the preseason and Aaron Rodgers, or at least not until the third preseason game. And even then, not all that long. So, might as well have some rookies in there, some backup plans and some guys who could use the experience. You know, those are the guys who could use the time and need the time. Why not let them play? And why not save Mason Crosby's leg for the regular season? Mason Crosby is a veteran now who's been around the block. He really doesn't, I mean, he needs work, but he doesn't necessarily need all the work. So why not do it? I mean, I don't know here. If they have to, they have to. Mason Crosby was the only kicker in camp last year. And if they have to do it that way, they will. If they want to bring in a player at another position or something like that. But it is what it is. The organization also announced Brett Favre will be honored in a game against the Dallas Cowboys on October 16th, when his name will be revealed on the stadium facade along the rest of the team's Pro Football Hall of Famers. Last year, they honored Brett Favre to have his number retired, and they lost to the Chicago Bears that game. So this year, they'll be looking to make up for that. And then also that same game, the Packers will wear their throwback jerseys from the 1930s and 40s for a second consecutive season. So just some initiatives the Packers let known earlier this week. The team also announced several game features for the upcoming season, you know, including the alumni homecoming game, the breast cancer awareness game, the salute to service games, and things like that. If you're interested in finding out what games those are, you can find those in a press release at Packers.com. So you can just head to that website. They got them all. They listed all the game features this year. The big ones, you know, like they have a Toys for Tots drive one game. You know, there's pretty much some for every game on the calendar the Packers are hosting, you know, their regular season games at least. So they released those earlier this week. But our next segment.
The day ahead.
We already told you about the tryout reportedly happening today with the Packers bringing in kicker Brent Wall. So that's happening on Wednesday. But if we're looking ahead here over the next day to the next few, really, taking place this week is the American Century Championship Golf Tournament in Lake Tahoe, Nevada, with Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers taking part, something he's done for several years running now. Practice rounds are underway as of Tuesday and continuing on Wednesday. Then the Celeb Amateur Tournament takes place Thursday, with the tournament itself, the main event, starting on Friday and lasting through the remainder of the weekend. There's going to be television coverage on NBC and the NBC Sports Network over the weekend. So check your local listings if you want to see Aaron Rodgers on TV this weekend. If you're really hard up for some sort of football-related sporting event, this would be it. We're still... Training camp doesn't start till next week, but if you're really itching for some sort of Packers-related content and entertainment, this might be as close as you're going to get. But it is going to be televised nationwide, so no matter where you live, if you can tune in to NBC through a good old antenna even, get out your bunny ears, pretty much no matter where you live in the nation, you should be able to see them. I suppose that does... assume he makes the cut in this tournament. I'm not sure that, or maybe they don't have a cut in this tournament. I'm not sure about that. Don't quote me on that one. But anyway, sometimes it requires a golfer, being in contention for them to be shown on TV. But regardless, the event he's taking part in will be televised regardless. And in case you're interested, I saw an article published in the Green Bay Press Gazette earlier this week as well. A screening of the documentary movie Cheeseheads will be shown Wednesday evening, so tonight, at the Green Bay Distillery. That's right across the street from Lambeau Field. And former Packers Dave Robinson and Chester Markle will be in attendance. So that's Hall of Famer Dave Robinson. Tickets are reportedly available at eventbrite.com. There's like different levels of tickets. Like some of them come with a goodie bag in which you get a copy of the DVD and things like that. I think you can get autographs from the Packers in attendance perhaps. So feel free. Go check out the website eventbrite.com. I know there's other screenings elsewhere this week. Anyway, it was published at the Green Bay Press Gazette if you want to find out more. And then also, finally, on Wednesday, there's a job fair being held at Green Bay, at Lambeau Field in Green Bay for the Delaware North Sports Service. So things like concessions and things like that. If you want to work for the Green Bay Packers, you may not be hired as a scout, but there are opportunities to work, especially on game days. If you're interested. So go check that out as well. I know there's more information at Packers.com as well. And that pretty much does it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Rich Ryman of the Green Bay Press Gazette for being our guest today. Later on, we will continue our position-by-position series. Kind of had to push it back today in order to talk about the shareholders meeting, which I wanted to do, with that taking place on Thursday. So talked a little bit about that today. We'll continue our position by position series very soon. So excited to do that starting on Friday, starting it back up again on Friday. So we'll see you later, folks. We'll see you on Friday. The show airs every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. The live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. My call to action is always as usual. If you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. Go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up.
give us that 5-star rating and a brief little review. Doesn't have to be anything long, but it helps people find this show when they're searching for Packers podcasts on the internet. A lot of ratings will help this pop up when people search for it, and that's what we want. We want people listening to this show because it's the best Packers podcast on the internet. But thank you to those of you who already have. Appreciate it. Thanks so much, folks. We'll talk to you later this week. I leave you today with a song called Freaker by The Speaker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack. Go. Dreidel, spinning.